Unther. The Quran says the male is not like the female. Guys, yeah. Can we get these basic things down, please? Society, especially in the West, is trying to drag and pull everybody away from these basic fundamental realities of human life and the sacredness of relationships. You know, marriage is just such a pure thing in the, from the Islamic perspective, that if a person belonging to another religion, right, they're not even Muslim, but they get married,
yeah,
then that couple becomes Muslim. Islam accepts their marriage. Nikah.
You don't have to destroy your institution.
You already are married. Mm-hmm. Think about that. That means that in other religions, when two people get married, even if it's not done in an Islamic way, if it's done in a Christian way, a Jewish way, whatever.
Whatever, yeah.
Subhanallah, Allah accepts that to a lesser or greater extent.
Mm-hmm. Let's go for a little break. We'll be back in no time. Dear audience, stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
So, welcome back to your audience. This is IRIB English Radio. We are having a discussion in your Back to Reality. Now, I want to ask your idea about governmental encouragements. Do you think is it a duty for the governments to make such encouragements for the youth to get married, or in order not to decline their marriage?
The government should make it easy. I don't know about encouragement.
Should the government facilitate?
Oh, absolutely not. It's not the place of the government at all to stick its nose into people's private affairs, but it should definitely facilitate it. Mm-hmm. If especially we see that in Muslim societies where the youth shy away from marriage because, you know, it's the stress of, well, having a house and having a car and having a steady income. So I firmly believe that the government should facilitate
to accommodate the
needs that young couples or even older couples or whatever couples have in order for them to focus more on their relationship than having to stress over the fact that, can I pay rent this month, right? There should be some loans. There should be easier, more lenient conditions in loan giving for banks and stuff like that, which, you know, it exists in a lot of countries.
I would disagree to a certain extent with Sister Zainab here. I think governments should encourage marriage. Yeah. I think they should encourage it. Notice the wording. I didn't say enforce, right?
Yeah.
Encourage.
So you mean there's no
law? No, let's define encourage real quick.
I mean, making it easy and facilitating for it is a kind
you
of encouragement, right?
Should promote it, though?
See, what's
go
happening
around putting
is,
banners up?
Billboards. Yeah, no. What's happening is, I'm looking at the opposite. And what they're actually essentially facilitating divorce. I'm looking at the West. If you look at the statistics, especially in a country like the UK, it is awful. Like the advantages that a woman has in divorce, she doesn't have in marriage.
Exactly.
Right? You can just marry a guy and then split his wallet in half and just go away with the money. That's better for you. You know, go and live your life, that individualistic mindset. The reason why governments, whether they're Islamic or not, should encourage marriage is because it prevents so many societal harms. One of my teachers once said that, look, there's no point in spraying each individual fly. You need to get rid of the garbage itself, which is encouraging the flies to enter the house, for example. It's the same thing.
So you basically, know, if they do that, divorce, if they accommodate and facilitate, they would be encouraging.
Yeah. Encourage it, right? Mm. But you said it quite emphatically that they definitely shouldn't encourage. I think, no, governments should do amr bil ma'ruf, right? They should enjoin the good. But anyway, I want to say that, look, you're stopping drugs, right, in the streets. You're stopping gang crime. You're stopping this. It's just like playing whack-a-mole. What's the point? If you look at the sources of these things, it's because they come from broken households, right? Most of these parents, they're divorced. And so when this child comes home from school, he's not getting that upbringing that he needs. His mind is split into two. And so that frustration which is created in the child from a young age and that lack of warmth and love and care that he needs from a family unit is not being given to him. And so he feels like, why shouldn't I go towards drugs and alcohol? And why shouldn't I steal a car and go for a joyride? That's where all the crime is coming from.
Mm-hmm. I would like you to talk about the ways of encouragement.
Yeah, exactly. The part you said the government has to do amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy anil munkar, enjoin the good and forbid the bad. Well, there are different forms of doing that, aren't there?
Oh, yeah.
It's like this is one of the most suckish things about our society, the Muslim society, is that they think amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy anil munkar means walking up to a person and telling them that, you know what you're doing right now? It's wrong. You should stop doing it.
But that but denying that that is one of the forms as well.
It's one of the most horrible forms. I am okay with people encouraging each other, right, to have good marriages, right? Because some people have this mindset of getting married for the sake of being married.
Yeah.
I see that more often in women also, because they don't want to turn into like lonely crazy cat ladies. And there's this mentality, especially in the Middle East, that a woman expires after a certain age and you're not going to find suitors anymore.
Yeah,
and now you're just left on your parents' hands and no one wants you.
You're out of use.
Yeah, exactly. Sure, we can encourage each other in the most encouraging way possible.
Not encouraging the way.
Not encourage each other in a way that the person says, I don't know who you are. This is none of your business. Stop talking to me and then walk away. Because, you know, people think they're encouraging, but that's what they end up doing. Encouraging people to get into good marriages can look like having a good marriage yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Set an example.
Oh, wow.
That is so important.
Yeah, practical
way of encouraging. Yes, practical encouragement. You can't go around telling people, take this supplementary pill. It's so good. I took it. I got cancer, though. And people are like, so why are you advocating it?
Yeah, that's very true.
Right?
Yes.
So have a good marriage first. If you
hold on. What if your relationship is a mess? That's not fair, really, right? My relationship is a mess, but you should still get married, right? It might be better for you.
One time, a mom came up to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told His Eminence, please tell my kid to stop eating dates. We know dates are good, but she's overdoing it. And Rasulullah was like, come back tomorrow. And then the mom took the kid, and it's such a famous story too.
Yeah.
Brought him back tomorrow, and then Rasulullah was like, hey, kid, stop eating dates.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mom was like, what the? You could have said this yesterday. Mm-hmm. And Rasulullah was like, I was eating dates yesterday. I don't want to preach what I don't do. It's so delicate, this topic. And people are so touchy.
Exactly.
The moment they find out your marriage is falling apart, they'd be like, oof. Who do you think you are telling me what to do? Go fix your own life.
You're an example of please don't get married.
Exactly. So there's that sort of encouragement.
Yeah.
Have a good marriage yourself before you want to advocate marriage.
So there's, I'm not with that direct way of telling people, please go marry. It's good to get married.
I do that all the time. I don't really do it with sisters though. That's the difference, I think. I don't really, because I've got lots of youths who are brothers, and I literally go up to them and go, brother, are you married? Yeah. Why not?
Yes, it's among your people.
They're usually younger as well. There's
an
age gap.
It's okay. Mm-hmm. If it's in a friendly situation, you can do it.
Yeah.
But if you see like a 30-something-year-old man or woman, imagine this scenario. You see a 30-year-old man or woman, and then you ask, hey, so why aren't you married? And then the person is like, oh, I have really bad experience. You know, she turned out to be a horrible person. She dragged me into an ugly divorce. She took half of my possessions and took full custody of the kids. I haven't seen my children in four years. I spiraled into horrible depression.
I'm sorry I asked.
Exactly. So I think there should be a limit to how much questions can we ask regarding a person's private lives. That's another form of encouragement I'm talking about. I mean, people ask this question all the time. Are you married? And the person is like, no. And then the best comment you can give is a form of encouragement. I hope you find someone who makes you happy. End of discussion.
Exactly.
Don't ask them why. Don't ask them what are your conditions. I hope you find someone that makes you happy. And it's a prayer. And then they live and let live.
That's a really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. Okay, what if that person has financial problems?
Well, if that person is really wants to get married, right, and they've embraced your positive prayer of compassion regarding marriage, and they're actively trying to get married, and they have an obstacle, like a financial problem, they will express it. Let them express it on their own terms. Brother, you haven't married. Well, I hope you find someone you're looking for, bro. If you need anything, you let me know.
Okay, so we were talking of marriage, and I hope we made our point. I hope you all have a great life. Thank you for listening.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabb. Let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi. Let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
In the limelight.
In the U.S., Congress and the Justice Department now find themselves in a complex dance set to the tempo of the January 6 hearings. The House Select Committee has already uncovered evidence suggesting that former President Donald Trump committed serious federal crimes. The article you're about to hear has been written by Neil Katyal, a professor at Georgetown University Law Center and a former acting Solicitor General in the Obama administration. The article has been published in the opinion section of the New York Times and is titled "The Future Criminal Case Against Donald Trump." In the United States, Congress and the Justice Department now find themselves in a complex dance set to the tempo of the January 6 hearings. The House Select Committee has already uncovered evidence suggesting that former President Donald Trump committed serious federal crimes. Congress cannot bring criminal charges. The Justice Department must do so. And critics of the department are asking why it does not appear to be investigating these allegations. The hearings point to a potential answer. The committee is laying a foundation upon which prosecutors can build in a subsequent investigation. And a subsequent investigation is virtually inevitable, given the evidence generated by the committee. How could Attorney General Merrick Garland ignore the facts that the American people are now learning about? Critics of the hearings, who say they are too detailed and dry, missed the multiple intended audiences. When I argue before the United States Supreme Court, there are several audiences. One is the nine justices. Another audience is the public, both in the courtroom and listeners online. And there is a third audience, history. Whatever the immediate outcome, history can render a different judgment. The same is true for this committee. 20 million people watched the first hearing, but the other two audiences, the immediate decision makers and the eyes of history, potentially will have an even more profound impact on our democracy. Merrick Garland and high officials at the US Justice Department, not nine justices, are the immediate decision makers. Merrick Garland has in the past been cagey about whether there is an investigation into the former president, yet it's unthinkable that the Justice Department should not pursue one. Highly respectable federal judge David Carter has already said in a published opinion that the court finds it more likely than not that President Trump corruptly attempted to obstruct the joint session of Congress on 6th of January 2021. Those are not easy words for the Justice Department to cast aside. If that doesn't merit an investigation, it's hard to think what should. But we've seen no signs of such an investigation. Ordinarily, 17 months after a crime, one would expect to see some signs of an inquiry. Witnesses before grand juries wind up talking to the media, for example, or those witnesses may file court actions to try to block the investigation. None of that appears to have happened. Then again, this isn't a normal investigation. Merrick Garland has known from the start that Congress is investigating the whole set of facts involving an attack on its own seat of government, and he may have made the conscious choice to hold off until he sees what Congress has developed. Public hearings serve a subtle function. They permit the minds of the American people to acculturate to the facts and evidence. By laying out the facts that explain what Donald Trump did, the January 6 hearings can in advance help acclimate the public to why the Justice Department has to take criminal action against the former president. The hearings may afford the department a deeper and public explanation of its reasoning than an indictment out of the blue would offer. Public sentiment of this kind could help insulate the US Justice Department against the claim that it is politically motivated. These hearings may prove to be a bridge between the Justice Department and the public. Now consider that elusive third audience, the eyes of history. On the one hand, Attorney General Merrick Garland has to fear being seen as political, and on the other, he knows that the rule of law requires him to bring an indictment if the evidence shows that Donald Trump committed one of the most serious crimes against the United States in our history. Trying to game history is a notoriously fraught enterprise, but it seems certain that if Mr. Garland is to be the first Attorney General to bring criminal charges against the former president, having the facts surfaced first by a bipartisan congressional committee would be enormously helpful and provide an evidentiary record that the public today and historians in the future could examine. Of course, critics will complain about the composition of the bipartisan committee and the like, but those complaints, relatively speaking, are likely to be weaker than they would be if the Justice Department just investigated and prosecuted the case against the president by itself. Here, Congress has a unique voice because the attack occurred on its members, on their soil. What would criminal charges against Donald Trump look like? Obstruction of an official proceeding is a serious offence that requires the prosecution to show that the defendant obstructed or attempted to obstruct an official proceeding and that the defendant did so corruptly. The official proceeding part of this is clear. By law, on 6th of January 2021, Congress and the Vice President must certify the votes. There appears to have been an orchestrated plot by some to try to interfere with that certification, The question is really whether the former president was part of that plot. The committee has presented evidence suggesting that Donald Trump, along with the lawyer John Eastman and perhaps others, such as the White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows and Jeffrey Clark, a former Justice Department official, attempted to interfere with the election certification on 6th of January 2021. Before the hearings, it was thought that Donald Trump's defense against this charge is that he genuinely believed that he had won the election and wasn't acting corruptly. The testimony in last week's hearing cast immense doubt on that claim. Donald Trump's close ally, former Attorney General William Barr, testified that he told the president that arguments claiming he had won the election were nonsense. Donald Trump's daughter, Ivanka, testified that she believed William Barr. Mr. Trump's own election data people told him the same. Donald Trump might try to claim he still believed the nonsense, but such an argument would be difficult to make given the array of people who told him in no uncertain terms that he had lost the election. But Mr. Trump persisted, despite the warnings, to try to interfere with the lawful transfer of power. This looks very much like an attempt to obstruct an official proceeding of the Congress. The Justice Department could also bring the charge of conspiracy to defraud the United States. A charge of conspiracy requires proof that two or more people agree to defraud the country. A key feature of conspiracy charges is that the plot need not succeed. Charges are tethered to the agreement to do something illegal, not to actually pull it off. Prosecutors need not wait until the bomb goes off, or in this case, until the election results are wrongfully thrown out, before bringing charges. Here, Donald Trump faces yet another problem. Even if we were to ignore William Barr and others and accept that Mr. Trump believed he had won the election, courts have ruled that a genuine but mistaken belief is not enough to defeat a conspiracy charge. Oliver North, for example, famously claimed he did not conspire to violate a particular foreign affairs law because he believed that law to be unconstitutional. But the courts threw that claim out. The law does not work that way, and it cannot work that way, particularly when people who control the entire machinery of government advance such preposterous claims. Finally, the Justice Department could bring seditious conspiracy charges. Such charges have already been used by the Justice Department against members of the Oath Keepers militia and the Proud Boys. This is one of the most serious charges in the Federal Criminal Code, but it's also the one that is the hardest for prosecutors to bring against Donald Trump. The charge requires prosecutors to prove that two or more people agree to use force to delay the execution of a law or to overthrow the government. Here, Mr. Trump's defense would be that while he may have wanted to delay certification of the election, he did not ever formally agree with someone else to use force. The communications uncovered by the committee showing an agreement with John Eastman and others are not likely to reveal anything about force. As such, while the committee may call some of the invaders of the Capitol seditious conspirators, it is under the present publicly known set of facts unlikely to yield that criminal charge against the former president. Merrick Garland has three charges to consider and potentially others such as wire fraud arising out of evidence the committee presented in the second hearing about Mr. Trump misleading his donors. Based on the evidence presented so far, it seems as if the most likely charges are obstruction of an official proceeding and conspiracy, and not seditious conspiracy. The committee has done a masterful job of starting to present its case to the American people, who are, after all, the first audience for their argument. And it has done so at a time when inflation, the conflict in Ukraine, reproductive rights, gun violence, and climate change equally demand our attention. But the only way we as Americans have control over the decisions of elected bodies and the president in each of these areas is through our votes. If an incumbent president can use the machinery of government to orchestrate a way to throw our votes out, the foundations of our democracy will have crumbled. If you care about inflation or foreign policy or anything else, you have to care about this. And so too should the Justice Department, because history will.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.
Thank you so much for joining us again. Alhamdulillah, we finished the rule إظهار, إدغام and إخفاء. So one more rule is left, which is
إقلاب.
So now we will go through the Surah Abbas and recite each and every ayah, inshallah, and apply any of these rules, okay? Four rules we have studied, we have learned, and we'll apply, okay? Yes. We find, three steps are there. Find the tanween or nun sakin, take a look at the next letter, and
apply
the rule, yes. Okay? Whatever the letter is, based on the letter that comes after nun or tanween, okay? You have to apply the rule. Yes, Ali Nasir?
Okay, if there is small meme, that is the...
sign to stop.
Sign of
Iqlab.
Iqlab. And if it is up of the word,
that's again, it comes with fatha or dhamma. Fatha or Dhamma with that meme.
No again. Difference. Huh? No difference that it is up of the word or down of the word.
If it is with Kasra, it comes down.
Uh-huh.
If it is with Fatha or Dhamma, it comes on the top. Mm-hmm. Of course, because Fatha and Dhamma, they come on the top. They are written on the top. So, let's go. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
عبس وتولى
عبس وتولى
Next ayah example for إخفاء أن جاءه الأعمى
أن جاءه الأعمى
I heard someone clearly pronounce the noon sound not an أن جاءه الأعمى
أن جاءه الأعمى
ما شاء الله he fixed his mistake وما يدريك لعله يزكى
وما يدريك لعله يزكى
We have an example for إدغام لعله إدغام مثلين Identical, okay?
Yes.
لعله يزكى as well إدغام, okay? Merging
Yes
تشديد is the sign of merging Whenever you see تشديد, تشديد is the sign of merging إدغام, okay? Next أو يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى I made a mistake. Okay, let me show you. You do not make this mistake. Recite the ayah.
أو يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى
You just did the same mistake. فتنفعه الذكرى Pay attention.
You all.
I'm checking. Okay, your consciousness. Are you conscious or no? So, let's repeat this ayah. أو يذكر فتن This is the example for إخفاء, right? فتنفعه الذكر أو يذكر فتنفعه الذكر
أو يذكر فتنفعه الذكر
أما من استغنى
أما من استغنى
أما is the example for إدغام but not إدغام with نون ساكن or تنوين yes مثلين yes. مثلين means the same
مثلين.
Identical letters فأنت له تصدى
فأنت له تصدى
okay له there's a baby vowel you have to straight the sound this is a long vowel yeah
yes.
short vowel we have أو long vowel أو فأنت له تصدى
فأنت له تصدى
وما عليك ألا يزكى
وما عليك ألا يزكى
وأما من جاءك يسعى
وأما من جاءك يسعى
وهو يخشى
وهو يخشى
فأنت عنه تلهى
فأنت عنه تلهى
Okay, the rule is first إخفاء and then إظهار, yes?
Yes.
فأنت له فأنت عنه تلهى عنه
yes.
Nothing. But hiding and also the next one?
Is all
nothing.
Yeah,
yes, nothing. Hiding. This one hiding. Anta, and the next one nothing. فأنت عنه تلهى.
فأنت عنه تلهى.
كلا إنها تذكرة.
كلا إنها تذكرة.
So إنها. Is it إدغام مثلين or the إدغام with نون ساكن?
إدغام with نون ساكن.
Both of them. Two noon we have mithlain.
Yes.
They are the same, identical. And also noon sakin it is. Dram. Both of them. So.
Kalla innaha tadhkira. Kalla innaha tadhkira.
ف
فمن شاء ذكره في صحف مكرمة مرفوعة مطهرة بأيدي سفرة كرام بررة قتل الإنسان ما أكفره
example for إخفاء
من أي شيء خلقه two examples are here for
إظهار
من أي شيء خلقه من أي شيء خلقه
من أي شيء خلقه
من نطفة خلقه فقدره One example for إدغام and one example for
إخفاء
إظهار Mr. إظهار من نطفة إدغام and تن خلقه إظهار
قلب بالحق تعلق وبغار حراء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ
Let's recite the Quran
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق
من نطفة خلقه فقدره ثم السبيل يسره ثم أماته فأقبره ثم إذا شاء أنشره كلا لما يقض ما أمره فلينظر الإنسان إلى طعامه
Two examples for
إخفاء ينظر إنسان yes. Okay, great أنا صببنا الماء صبا ثم شققنا الأرض شقا فأنبتنا فيها حبا
An example for
إقلاب
that tiny meme yes,
yes.
فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا حَبَّا وَعِنَبًا وَقَضْبًا Example for عِنَبًا وَقَضْبًا Example for
إدغام
وإدغنا أو without غنا
وإدغنا
وزيتونا ونخلا Example for
إدغام
With or without غنة
With
وحدائق غلبا وفاكهة وأبا متاعا لكم ولأنعامكم متاعا لكم example for
إدغام.
إدغام. And لأنعامكم. Example for?
إظهار.
إظهار. أنعامكم عين. ما شاء الله. Okay. فإذا جاءت الصاخة.
فإذا جاءت الصاخة.
يوم يفر المرء من أخيه.
يوم يفر المرء من أخيه
وأمه وأبيه.
وأمه وأبيه
وصاحبته وبنيه.
وصاحبته وبنيه.
صاد is a heavy letter. وصاحبته وبنيه.
وصاحبته وبنيه.
لكل امرئ منهم.
لكل امرئ.
No, that's حمزة الوصل. لكل امرئ. Okay, forward. لكل امرئ. Do not say لكل امرئ. No. لكل امرئ منهم.
لكل امرئ منهم.
يومئذ. Wrong. يومئذ شأن يغنيه.
يومئذ شأن يغنيه.
أحسن. لكل امرئ منهم يومئذ شأن يغنيه.
لكل امرئ منهم يومئذ شأن يغنيه.
وجوه يومئذ مسفرة.
وجوه يومئذ مسفرة.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Thank you so much for being with us up to this time. May Allah Almighty inshallah grant you all with a long life and a healthy life. So that's all for today, and the time's up. Inshallah, we'll see you next session. Stay with us, stay with IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network. So we finished the rule ikhfa, idgham, idhar, and iqlab. The examples, alhamdulillah, we practiced in the on the verses of the Holy Quran and we applied. Okay, see you inshallah in the next session. Stay with us. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور. آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى. نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
Geologists are rejoicing over a new discovery. A 290-million-old fossil forest has accidentally been found in southern Brazil. A team of geologists had been sent to the state of Parana to investigate the rocks there. To their surprise, they were able to find over 160 logs of lycophytes, an extinct variety of the vascular plant subgroup. It's quite rare occurrence that a large number of fossils of the plant were found preserved in upright position for such a long time. The forest itself was discovered in 2018 when a street was being constructed over there. So far, only two other similar collections have been found in smaller forest areas of Brazil and Argentina. Summer heat is here, and zoos are working to not only keep visitors cool, but animals safe during the hot weather. A Belgian zoo takes extra precautions to help animals survive a fierce heat wave that has left Western Europe sweltering. Pyridesa Zoo, located in Wallonia in the province of Hainaut, provides animals with frozen food, fruit suspended in water, and extra showers. It has also created extra shaded areas with good ventilation along with water points to ensure animals have access to them. Zookeepers say managing animals in high temperatures requires good forward planning. Zoos across the world have a variety of responses to keep animals cool. So we humans are not the only creatures who feel significant stress during the hot months. Animals, too, are impacted by it. The biggest and brightest supermoon of 2022 has risen with a crimson hue above horizons across the globe. It's also known as a buck moon because it falls in July. The name does not come from its appearance. You won't see the shape of a deer on the moon's surface or anything. It refers to something that happens in nature at this time. It's called a buck moon because the antlers of male deer or bucks are in full growth in July. Supermoons occur when a full moon comes closest to Earth in its orbit. This is not the last supermoon of 2022. There will be another in August, marking the final supermoon in this year's set of four. Some rescue stories are tragic, but this one has a happy ending. A stranded elephant and her calf have been pulled out of a drainage hole in a dramatic rescue mission during monsoon rains in Thailand. The mother elephant was guarding her calf that had fallen into a golf course drain hole when rescuers arrived. Vets had to use tranquilizers to subdue the frantic mother, but on her way down, she hit her head on a concrete block, knocking her unconscious as she fell into the muddy cavity. Rescuers used a crane to lift her out. It took two men jumping up and down on her chest to resuscitate her. Meanwhile, a digger was brought in to move the muddy earth and create a ramp for the calf to climb out. It took the team more than 3 hours to finish the operation. During a routine X-ray examination of one of Van Gogh's paintings, art conservators at the National Galleries of Scotland have discovered a secret self-portrait.
When we saw the X-ray for the first time, of course, we were hugely excited, absolutely thrilled to bits. Such a major discovery of an alternative composition happens once, twice in a conservator's lifetime.
The self-portrait was found during an examination of an 1885 painting by Van Gogh as the museum was prepping for an upcoming exhibition on Impressionism. Hidden from view for over a century, the self-portrait is on the reverse side of the Dutch artist's painting called The Head of a Peasant Woman. It was found beneath cardboard and layers of glue. Van Gogh is known to have often reused his canvases, working on their reverse side as well.
When he took the painting to Paris, he didn't have very much money. He was scrabbling around and decided clearly to use the back of these series of paintings that he'd brought with him from the Netherlands to Paris to explore self-portraiture for the first time.
Experts at the museum believe the materials covering the self-portrait were applied in the early 20th century before the art went on display. Art historians say when Vincent van Gogh was low on money, he took to painting on both sides of his canvases, but over the years, some of his reverse side paintings were covered up and lost. The X-ray image will feature at the Royal Scottish Academy in Edinburgh starting in July.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Children in Qatar are helping a conservation program revive the population of a critically endangered species of turtles. The children help release the baby turtles after they hatch, which usually takes place during the dark hours of the evening. The hawksbill mothers are cared for, if needed, when they arrive at the beach to lay their eggs. When the little turtles emerge, the weaker ones are taken to facilities at the foundation. There, they are cared for until they are strong enough to be returned to sea. Program managers say getting children involved helps raise awareness about the endangered species and how they can help prevent some of the challenges these turtles face.
As adults, we are kind of beyond hope. Our brain is no longer plastic. We can't really learn new things. But children have the power to really internalize all these things that they're learning, that they're seeing. They make these habits part of their life. They make decisions based on, is it good for the environment, alongside with economic value for money kind of decisions. And this is what we want to cultivate.
The children also get a chance to form bonds with the hawksbill turtles. Some of them have even named the one they are going to release. That's why life experts with the conservation program say only 1% of every 1,000 hatchlings make it to adulthood. Poaching, climate change, fishing nets and marine pollution have all contributed to the dwindling numbers of the species. The program was launched roughly a decade ago and has released 30,000 hatchlings into the sea in the last 5 years. Experts are optimistic about the success of the program.
The more scientists make progress in space exploration, the more they get persuaded to delve into the mysteries of the universe. Now, the release of stunning full-color images from deep in the cosmos has put astronomers on the edge of their seats. NASA has unveiled high-resolution pictures from its James Webb telescope, which is the largest space-based observatory ever launched. The images took 2 weeks to render from raw telescope data. The $9 billion infrared James Webb was launched on Christmas in 2021. It reached its destination in solar orbit nearly 1 million miles from Earth a month later. Then the telescope underwent months-long process to unfurl all of its components. James Webb is now finely tuned and fully focused. The telescope is expected to shed light on the life cycles and planets of planets and galaxies.
The International Fajj Fashion and Clothing Festival has drawn fashion designers from Iran and around the world. The designs displayed are trendy and at the same time they conform to the Islamic dress code. Yusuf Jalali has this report.
It's the Iranian fashion's biggest day. The 11th Fajr Fashion and Clothing Festival brought under one roof fashion designers from across Iran and some other Muslim nations to step up their designs.
I have participated here as a fashion designer. I am so happy to be a part of this event because it acts as a platform that links designers to producers and it helps like promote quality design in the market.
This festival is a major event in the Islamic world's fashion industry because it helps promote fashionable clothes that conform to Islamic guidelines.
A typical Iranian woman wears a button-up coat called manto and a scarf covering the head. Some others wear a piece of cloth called chador, which covers the body from head to toe. One of the challenges Iranian fashion designers have to deal with is to tailor their designs to Islamic dress code or hijab while keeping them trendy.
Clothes represent the identity of a nation. As a designer, my mission is to design clothes that best represent the dresser's nationality and their culture. At the same time, the aesthetic aspect of the garment need to catch the attention. I think this is an ultimate artistry if accomplished.
Smuggling is another persisting problem in the Iranian clothing industry. Out of the $8 billion annual turnover of Iran's garment industry, a whopping $5 billion is supplied through smuggling, say activists here. Experts say one of the reasons smuggling has the lion's share in Iran's clothing market is that it's more cost-effective to import foreign clothes rather than produce them domestically.
We are making our best efforts to push down the production costs, including the associated taxes, in order to promote designs that reflect our Islamic and Iranian identities, opposed to Western designs that seek to dominate global markets.
With all the actors in Iran's fashion industry present in the Fajr Festival, the event is seen as a place to highlight and address the challenges with the aim to provide the stage for Iranian fashion activists to shine in the domestic market.
It might seem contradictory when we would associate fashion with the Islamic dress code, but it's the art of a fashion designer that sews traditions to style and designs clothes that are both stylish and hijab. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Elephants are the largest living animals on Earth that, in many cultures, are associated with good luck, wisdom and fertility. But their overpopulation has become a matter of concern in the southeastern African nation of Malawi.
We want to reduce the population of elephants in this park, in Luanda National Park, because currently we have 600 plus elephants in this park. We would be comfortable, ecologically speaking, that is, to have 300 elephants in this park.
Officials say they will relocate 250 elephants from a national park in a southern town to another park by the end of July. They say the plan is part of a national conservation initiative to maintain healthy habitats in the country's national parks. Establishing viable elephant populations and ensuring the prosperity of local communities around the parks are said to be the other aspects. Residents say the elephants often stray into their gardens and damage their crops. Authorities had relocated some 300 elephants from the same town in 2019.
IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.